You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 229 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, March 9th of the year 2020, and here in Kansas City, I'm your host, J.R. Cook, and I am joined by the normal big crew, starting with Mr. Big Man himself over there, Mr. Ray C. How's it going, Ray?
It's going all over the place. It's as Hearthstone wise, I'm about to be rank one.
Nice.
Non-legend, probably get legend tonight.
Wow. I was like, rank one legend, sweet. And it's like, no. Like pleb one. Got it.
Yeah. Pleb one. I'm pleb one right now.
Got it.
I keep trying to make, like, I was rank one, like, three or four stars. And then I was like, oh, I want to try this idea that, like, I wanted to try some janky ideas. We all know how that goes. So now I went back to, like, rank three, playing, like, dumb druid decks.
Yeah.
And I quickly learned that the meta is literally just hunter, rogue, and warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Those are the only decks you should be playing if you want to win. That is the meta. There's nothing else. If you think there is, you're wrong. You might win a game with something else, but that's just, oh man, it's brutal.
You've got about a month of this. Got about a month of this, and then things will be changing.
Not even a month, right? Doesn't the rotation happen right before the announcement comes out? Like all the expansion and all that stuff? Don't they rotate a little bit beforehand?
I don't believe so.
I remember them doing that in the past where they went through, they rotated the cards out, and maybe for about a week there was a period where, like, we were in, before the expansion dropped, where we were in, like, no man's land with only 1 year worth of cards in standard.
Yeah, that does happen. No, that did happen.
Okay. Yeah, that definitely happened.
All right.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. I don't have a good memory anymore. I got old, so I'm going to die of coronavirus here soon.
Yo, chill. That's popping up quite a bit here.
Yeah, like, I'm glad we're talking over over the phone, right? I'm glad we're not in person, JR. Quarantine yourself for 14 days.
No,
I'm a little scared of the Rona, dude. I'm like, if somebody's coughing, I'm like, no, not today. Well, only it's only when I go to Boston, like when I go to the doctors.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
the doctor's not the worst place though, because that's where the people are gonna have it, right?
Exactly. It's like, I'm not worried about it at home in New Hampshire. I don't like it's not really a thing, but in Boston, there's a lot of cases popping up, and I'm just like, oh God, please.
It's crazy how all this stuff's going on. Everything's getting canceled.
Yeah, dude. Masters tour, mom's basement.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, but I want to talk about this subject a little bit more, but we'll get into a little bit more in the show later. But before we even do that, also coming all the way from near Boston over in New Hampshire, we've got Mr. Danny Donuts, who you've already heard from.
Well, not close enough to catch the coronavirus.
Yeah. What have you been up to other than trying not to get sick?
I mean, I've been working mostly. It's been taking up a good chunk of my life, but when I do get to relax, I'm playing a little bit of Battlegrounds here and there, playing some Wild, getting into it. Haven't played as much as I'd want, and I mean, work is definitely a factor in that one, but I should be back, and I'm ready to hit the ground running with this expansion and some of the news that we're going to talk about later this week. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, I can definitely mimic your call on work, and I think I even said this in our Discord. One of our Well Met Discord channels there. Man, it's been rough to do the podcast lately, and it's between Ray not, you know, doing well. You're doing well, but there's obviously you know, some stuff coming up.
Not feeling so well.
And then Danny and I are just like, work has just been crazy for the both of us. It's been really difficult for us to find a day where we can do a show. We even tried to do it. Like, we thought, hey, we'll do it. You know, we'll start doing it Sundays again, because then maybe work won't get in the way. But then we had like a Sunday where work got in the way.
Yeah, work got in the way yesterday.
And it's just like, man, it's just been rough, guys. And hopefully things will start slowing down. Things will start getting better. But please bear with us a little bit on this. Real life has definitely been hectic. And here in, heck, the first week of April, I'm going to be out for like a week and a half. So
taking that PTO.
Taking that PTO. Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. Unless they close Florida or something, then
no. PTO stands for pretend to take time off.
It's actually PTAH now, paid time at home.
Yeah.
Well, that's everyone now. Everyone with the coronavirus is working from home.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for my company to say, all right, we had the first instance of coronavirus in the building. Everyone work from home. Who can?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
That's inevitable with where I work.
I feel like I would go stir crazy.
Yeah. Like,
Not being able to see people is going to be rough.
My work's already testing this week on the, our VPN connections and stuff to make sure that we're good. Because I think the mandatory working from home is coming in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. At least we'll have time to play Hearthstone at home.
Yeah. There you go. The problem is, we'll get into Hearthstone here in a minute, guys. The problem is with working from home, I work more at home than I do in the office. Because
yeah, there are
two
types of people who do that.
I lose track
of
time completely when I'm working from home.
I have to set timers if I'm working at home. I have to set a timer where I'm either just working for the period, and I'll literally have an alarm go off when I'm done working.
Yeah. I need to do something because I will go absolutely stir crazy. Like when I was really, really sick in November and I had like bronchitis and I was out for like 3 weeks, I had to work from home and I was just going crazy doing that. So I can't even imagine. It's going to, as much as I like the option, doing it for long periods of time is rough. Anyway, with all that said, we do have some Hearthstone stuff to talk about. So we should probably get into that.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So, it's been a few weeks. Last time you guys talked to us, last time you heard us, we were saying, man, there is something brewing. There's a Hearthstone Summit, and they're going to announce something this next week, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be big. It's going to be the year of announcement and all of that. Nope.
They hit us with the big tease, the big, all right, here's some news, here's Battlegrounds. And to be fair, it was a big Battlegrounds patch.
Yeah, it was a huge Battlegrounds patch. But as we did predict, we did get Dragons. Dragons is now in the game in a big way.
And I like it. It's a lot of fun. I do like the different variety that it takes. It's kind of like it changed Battlegrounds completely, right? Where I think the ability of the characters is something that I definitely underestimated in the beginning of Battlegrounds, where like the gameplay itself, I thought changing minions would definitely be a large factor, and adding in all the dragons was definitely a huge factor in the game itself. But the changing of the heroes was something that should not be understated. I like Deathwing itself is just insane, where your strategy changes completely just based off of your hero, and you go in with a different game plan based off of what hero you get in the beginning. And I like how the heroes have now, I think in the beginning, most heroes had the same game plan, but with like things like Tyrion, Deathwing, you have different strategies now. Reno, everyone has a different strategy that you can go in and approach the game to try and win. I really like that aspect of Battlegrounds, and it's very different than other auto battlers in the sense that everyone just starts out bland, as like there's no differentiation between who you start as besides the tribes that you're picking in the beginning.
I 100% agree with that, and it's just, I mean, just seeing all these new heroes and the new minions that they're dropping out, the rate of the change in Battlegrounds and how much time they're focusing on what is basically a free-to-play version of the game, right? Like, you don't have to pay anything to play this. you could pay something to get some better options. Or you can, you know, you, as long as you have certain packs, like you don't necessarily have to pay anything. I think it's really cool, and this is only in beta still.
Yeah,
like this is.
I like the cadence that they're doing with this. They're definitely updating this a lot more frequently than they're nerfing, buffing cards, and that is a sign that they have a solid dev team behind everything, and that they're monitoring everything. That they understand that they need to be competitive with the rest of the auto battlers, as opposed to the rest of the card. Like that was one of my fears when we really started with all of this, that Blizzard would spread themselves thin, being like two things, like being a card game and an auto battler. It seems like there's two separate teams working on this, and that the auto battler team is kind of competing with like other auto battlers. They're on that same type of wavelength, which is very nice.
Right. Yeah. And there's more to come. Like, it sounds like there's a potential for, you know, a reward system, a progression system. Hearthstone was at that Hearthstone summit we were talking about, and they had a chance to talk to Dean Ayala there, who is kind of the one that I feel like is in charge of Battlegrounds, or at least has his hands very deep into it. And they were able to publish a snippet from that interview. They weren't able to obviously publish the whole thing, but they were able to publish this Battleground specific thing. And, you know, he talked about the future of Battlegrounds, and it looks pretty bright. And he reminded her, hey, this is still in beta. Like,
yeah, that's a good sign. And hopefully they're able. I think the best part that will be very good for a lot of the people who are listening to our podcast is the 8-player capability. I don't know when they get that in, but some of the best moments in auto battlers that I've ever had is when I just get into a lobby with a bunch of my friends, and then we're going through and we're playing, and then people are hopping in, hopping out. You're able to play with a lot of people. And yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily the most competitive, like you're not going for the top ranking, but you can do that, and that's the feature of the ranking system in Battlegrounds, which is a lot better than the Legend Ladder in my opinion. But being able to jump in with a lot of your friends is one of the best parts of like any auto battler. And when that happens in Hearthstone, like I believe for the next couple of weeks I will be playing exclusively Battlegrounds, because it'll be a ton of fun to play with friends and then just get on a Skype call, get on a Discord call, and then go through and then chirp at everyone as you're playing the game. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think that's when I had the most fun in TFT, was just doing in-house 8-mans, just being like,
yeah,
I got you, you dumb idiot.
Exactly. And we'd go in on the calls. Those were some of the best times, where we'd go in, right, everyone would be chirping at each other.
Yeah. Well, and that sounds like that's coming to this pretty soon as well. Here, let me quote this from this interview. And this is what Dean Ayala was saying, is Battlegrounds probably launched before it really had that final level of polish. I think it still has the beta tag on it for a reason. So we'd love to add some more progression systems, love to add some goals for different players to hit. There's just a bunch of features that we want to do first, like, for instance, getting 8-player lobbies so that you can queue up with your friends, but also for organizers outside of Blizzard to also make their own tournaments and broadcast those for people to watch. So that's really the first feature. We'd love to do more, but it's going to take time. So that's coming.
Yeah, it looks like they're building the infrastructure right now, which, I mean, it definitely does take some time, and you got to give them their time to get it done, make it good, add all the perks and all that stuff, all the extra features. But I'm waiting with bated breath on that one. That is the one thing to Battlegrounds that will take it to the next level, that will make me think of it like I think of current auto battlers.
You know what I think of current auto battlers?
You don't?
I don't.
Exactly. But I mean, I do play a little bit of TFT here and there, just based off of who's online, and a lot of my friends do play TFT, and occasionally I'll get together and play with them, and I think that every single one of those players are Hearthstone players, and if we were able to host this in the Hearthstone client and have 8 people together, it doesn't matter if it's TFT or if it's Hearthstone. So the sooner they get this capability out, the better. the more that they will be able to get people to play, more or less because it's the people who are playing more as opposed to the game itself, where like we're just playing a game as a group of friends together, and it doesn't matter the specific game per se. And I mean, that might be a select case, but I mean,
no, you are 100% we are a bunch right. of
we all met each other through Hearthstone.
You are 100% right, because that's something Hearthstone in general has been missing since its inception, is some way to like be able to socially game with your friends. It's one-on-one.
I remember
people
talking about clans and everything. Remember the talk early on where like, oh, you could make a clan with all these people, and like when they were thinking about transferring things from World of Warcraft, and like, oh, you're in a clan for Hearthstone. That would have been an interesting thing, but it doesn't seem like the direction that they wanted to go with. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think it would have worked for a card game, but for an auto battler, I think for sure it would be something that's definitely like being in a group of people and being able to go in and just like, all right, we have a group of six going on, we have a Discord call, who's around, all right, let's grab someone here, oh, my friend here, let's grab him. You're grabbing a bunch of people, you meet some new people, you get everyone together. It's gonna be a very big moment when Hearthstone is able to support eight players.
I think even Ray can kind of attest to this, that some of the best moments I'm sure you've had playing Hearthstone has been going to tournaments and playing with people there.
Or being on a group call when someone's doing something, being on a group call, going through and like talking through the plays and all that stuff. It's all really group oriented. I like the group orientation.
Yeah. I mean, live events are the reason I kept playing Hearthstone for so long. And my goal is to be able to go back to playing at events in real life. Like, that is the point of playing to me. Like, I don't think I would be playing Hearthstone if there was no live events. I would just like, it wouldn't feel like there's any true end game, you know?
Right.
Unless there was like big money tournaments online, I guess, like Masters Tours, maybe I would just for that, but I wouldn't be as excited. Like, I'd be like, I don't know. I feel like I would just play another game at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just remember you talking about like the social aspect and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's an important part of the game, and it still boggles my mind that Hearthstone doesn't have the greatest features when it comes to that, but it's still insanely popular. So,
well, I mean, that shows the success of what they have for a brand. And I think that the competition that is starting to come up from some of these other card games, from Runeterra, from TFT on the front for Battlegrounds, it seems like Riot's kind of just straight up competing with Blizzard in this space. Definitely. And I mean, from a meta perspective on this, I do think that Blizzard is definitely responding in kind. They've definitely recognized that there are other options coming out, and competition breeds success, because all of a sudden, Blizzard can no longer sit on their laurels and be like, okay, we're the original, we can be the best. And all of a sudden, there's an alternative that people are starting to go to, where like all of a sudden Blizzard needs to be like, okay, let's keep everything in check, let's keep our population that likes our game happy, let's keep our current audience. And that just makes things better for both sides, whether you like Runeterra, whether you like Hearthstone. I think that this is just it's a beneficial to both sides.
Yeah,
competition is good.
Competition, yep, exactly, is good. But anyway, we didn't get the announcement that we were thinking we would get. We did get something pretty cool. The announcement that we thought we were going to get is still coming, too. Like, it's not like this replaced the announcement. It's just, oh, we got this surprise patch that came on this day instead. So the Hearthstone Summit is still, like, it's still under NDA. It's still under embargo. People still haven't been able to talk about it. So when is it coming? Like, when is what they learned about coming? And from what we've heard about people that were at that summit is very high praise on what's coming.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of people are over the top on this.
And Blizzard is talking about we'll hear something more mid-March. Well, guess what, guys? It's mid-March.
It's early March. Once we hit double digits, I would say. Like, no, mid-March is like...
So tomorrow?
Next. No, in Blizzard terms, mid-March is like the 22nd.
I mean, you might be right.
I consider...
I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest, Blizzard is very slow. They announce the announcement of the announcement, right? Where they're trying to build the hype up, where the people who, like us, who are very attuned to the community, who are paying attention to all this stuff, everyone's like, okay, they're going to come out with it next week, and then it's the week after. So they typically try to build the hype up, and they have been notorious in being, I don't want to say late, but they'll set a date and then at the last possible moment they'll come through and then they'll hit you with the 1-2 punch at that point.
Yeah. Hit him with the 1-2, 1-2.
I consider mid-March this week or next week.
I'm thinking next week. I think that this is coming out next week.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll see. And, knowing our luck, right, is coming out tomorrow, yeah, based off of the way that we record our podcast.
Coming
right?
out tomorrow on Mario Day.
Wait, what?
Mar 10. Yes.
Yeah. March 10th.
Wait, why is Mar 10 Mario Day?
There was a random. Let me see if I see this.
Okay. So, Ray, MAR for March, right? 1-0.
Mm-hmm. For EO.
IO. Mario Day. Get it? March 10th is Mario Day.
All right. I have something to. Let me see.
That makes sense.
March 10th is when you have a Mario Party. Like, I've legit wanted to have Mario Parties on March 10th, and I always forget that it's coming up. I always forget it's coming up, and it's too late to plan it. But I want to have a Mario Party someday. So.
I mean, you can have a Mario
Make Party. Make sure you send an invite to me. Yeah. I'm down for the Mario Party.
Like, we could play Mario Party. We could play Mario Kart. Oh,
Super Smash Bros. We'll all
play
day.
Super Smash Brothers. Like, there's so many things that we could do. And we could have Mario balloons, Mario cake, Mario punch, and Mario beer. And
we'll play some Beerio Kart. That's for sure.
Well, maybe you'll do it on the weekend.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a few more years before that happens then.
Are you working weekends forever?
No, it's March 10th will not fall on a weekend for a few more years.
Oh, I meant like you just do it this weekend. So like it's not on March 10th, but it's in honor of, you know what?
You can do that, but I would rather have Mario Day on March 10th, on actual Mario Day. Like, do you celebrate New Year's Eve? Like, January 3rd?
I mean, sometimes it just be like that. I don't know. I don't, but like, I could see it. I could see myself doing that.
All right. Did you find what you were looking for, Danny? I've been sitting here stalling.
Keep going. I'll find it.
All right. So anyway, the long-winded way of going over all of that and talking about is, what do you guys think the announcement could be? Like, with everybody hyping it up as much as it is, like, this feels like it's going to be big. What's the potential here?
I think it's the rotation of the Evergreen set. Okay. I think that we finally go to a standardized format where they're like, okay, we're going to have a rotating classic set. I think that the old guard has moved out, and then especially with people like Peter Whalen has left the group. I think people like him was Mike keeping Donet a too. Lot of Mike Donet, Peter Whalen. I think a lot of the old guard has gone, and the concepts that they had held on to, which had made Hearthstone what it was in the past, has been it's been essentially overridden by the new guard, which is a lot of people who are very in touch with the current competitive Hearthstone scene and what people think about the current classic set and all of the issues that are with. I think that a lot of the people who understand the plights of the more competitive Hearthstone player.
Yeah. By the way, Ray, you're getting echo coming out of your.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I was hearing.
Is it still?
I was hearing Danny through your microphone there.
Oh, that's weird. Okay, is it gone now?
I don't hear it now, so I think we're good.
Yeah, it looks like you're good.
Nope.
Weird.
No, just happened. Nope.
Okay, why is that happening? Wait.
Don't know.
Huh. That's really weird.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's not happening right now.
I think we're good.
Okay.
Yeah. So, let's see, where were we on that? So you think it's the Evergreen set? You think it's going to be something like that? I want to agree with that, and I think it's very possible, but I don't know if that's is enough to have everybody as excited as they are.
I don't know, man. I feel like if you're in Grandmasters, you are excited about anything Blizzard says to you because you're getting that free paycheck.
This isn't Grandmaster people. This isn't just Grandmaster people. This is people
if you're in that group,
I do agree with you, Ray. I think that if you were invited to the summit, you will over-respond to no matter what comes up because you were invited to the group. I think that is inherent based on just, oh my God, I'm part of the in crowd who went through and got an invite to this, and I cannot be negative about this because they will never invite me back to this again.
I don't fully agree with that. I think it's more of the way that Blizzard presents things. They do a very good job at these events and presenting things to make you feel very positive about it. And then when they send it to the public, there's going to be things that during Blizzard's announcement that you didn't quite catch that thousands of other people are, that, you know, they're going to end up being negative about it, or they're not going to be as positive about it. On the flip side of that, I don't think I've ever seen, like, they've revealed stuff at past summits before, but I don't think I've ever seen people this over the top on changes before. So
they have to at this point, though. Like, what we've been talking about, essentially, competition breeds success. So they're getting I think that the direction that this is coming in from is that they're starting to attune to those who are more competitive, which is something that Riot is capitalizing on, and more or less Blizzard is really adjusting to what Riot is throwing at them with the new Riot card game coming in.
Okay, I can see that. I think you remember me talking before BlizzCon about how I think it's going to be like a Hearthstone 2.0, and I wanted to see that announced at BlizzCon.
Have you seen the post that they went through? I mean, that's very let's say symbolic. Have you seen the leaked images of what the next set is going to be?
I have
what
not.
The next year is?
I have not.
So the next year, the leaked things have been Year of the Phoenix.
Oh, wait, I did see that, yeah.
So, I mean, if there's Hearthstone 2.0, it would only be right if they called it Year of the Phoenix, where Hearthstone 2.0 is introduced, something happens, like... This seems like the period where if Hearthstone needs to evolve, if it needs to pivot, this is the time to do so.
Exactly.
So this is the time where they're under the most amount of attention from people because they're like, oh, now there's finally a competitor in the field. Like, let's see what happens.
Yeah. And I think the Evergreen set that you talked about is a potential part of that. I just think they overhaul the system. Like, I just think they look at Hearthstone from front to back, going, how can we make this right now? How can we change the game dramatically? And I'm not talking about the gameplay, because the gameplay itself is pretty solid. I'm talking about ways to get players to engage in the game, ways to get new players to play the game. That right now is a very outdated system. Awards and stuff like that. Ways to improve awards. Ways to improve the progression system. I think that's what's coming. I think that's what's going to get people excited.
The issue I have is that this should have been something that was done a lot earlier.
Yes, 100% agree. I'm not arguing about that, but I'd rather have it done at some point of time than never.
Yeah, at some point rather than not at all. Yeah.
I don't know. I hope it's not just like something lame, like a... I don't know, some type of, you get an extra card back or something if you hit Legend.
No, I agree. I definitely think they need to play to both the experienced player base, and they need to wow us, right? They need to wow the people who are very invested in the game because there are other options.
Yeah. And I will say this, if it doesn't completely wow me and get me excited, I'm never listening to anybody that went to that Hearthstone Summit again.
I mean, I'm just gonna tell you, whatever you think it is, like, however exciting you think it is not that exciting. Like,
well, I mean, we're also playing it up, right? Like, we can go through, and even if it's great, like, comparatively, you can always speculate better.
Sure.
You can always go through and say, I wish they did this, or I wish they did that. It would be perfect if they did this, and it would match your perception of them. But I bet a lot of changes would make Hearthstone better just generally, even if they are a little bit weaker towards what we would assume they would be.
Yeah. My point on that was that it needs to feel something big and that I'm excited about, and not like different card backs, like you were saying. Like, if it's that, I'm never trusting anybody at that Hearthstone.
Oh, I agree with you completely.
Right.
Dude, I just have a feeling, man, we're getting new card backs. That's all I'm saying.
Well, even if that's not incorporated, right?
Yeah. Even if that's incorporated, there has to be more. If there's not more than that, I think I kind of give up my hope in a lot of the stuff that Hearthstone has going on.
You see, if I have no hope to begin with, I can't be disappointed again.
Yeah, you shoot low, then when you overexceed, you end up in the stars. Is that the quote? I don't know the quote.
You think I know the quote?
Someone knows the quote.
Here's the problem with that, though, Ray, is then you get then you start acting like the Diablo crowd on where you expect nothing and you're still disappointed.
No, if I expect nothing and nothing happens, I won't be more disappointed. I will just continue on with my life, and just I won't have that like that dopamine drop, you know. I won't be like and then be like, oh, I'll just be like, eh, this is what I expected.
But here's something that I think is a good segue into this, though. Because it's something that Danny touched on a bit, is how Hearthstone is, it seems like they're targeting more of the competitive player and not as much as the casual player. That's a huge pivot in Hearthstone's philosophy, I think. And I think we can see this a little bit with something that they talked about this week, or in the last couple weeks, that they've been looking at unnerfing cards in Wild, and they're going to do that. They're going to announce some unnerfed cards that will be rotating into Wild, or potentially Wild cards there already. And they announced one card today that's not a Wild card that is going to get unnerfed, and that Sludge Slurper is going to be a 2/1 again instead of the nerfed 1/1. So they're reversing that nerf. That will be in standard. They said it'll be in there by the time the Masters Tour takes place on March 20th. And the interesting thing about this is there are a lot of people upset about Blizzard making changes like this to Hearthstone. Which
really?
Which is a complete opposite, but I think that's.
I don't think there's a lot. I think you're looking at the vocal minority.
Maybe
just like general with all this stuff, it's always the vocal minority that gets the capture on Twitter or whatever that you think's going on. Maybe it's just me being indifferent about Sludge Slurper. I don't think it was bad as a 2/1. Going back to a 2/1 is not impactful on the Wild scene, because that's really where you're looking at, right? I mean, it is going back into standard for a brief period of time, but or is it when did Sludge Slurper come out? Did that come out just at the start of this whole set? Because it does create a lack.
It was either the start of this set or the last set. I don't want 100%.
I think that a lot of the issues that you had with Sludge Slurper go away when Chotarwalk rotates, right? So I think that they're like, okay, we can rebuff it back up to its full power once Chotarwalk is gone.
Okay. My point on that, though, wasn't so much like it's because of the shift. Like, the people that I see complaining about it are more not competitive players. They're more casual players that don't like to see change. And that's always been an argument on the Hearthstone team, on the Hearthstone dev team, on not making a lot of changes, because they were worried about not so much upsetting, but confusing players who only get to play every once in a while.
Sure.
And
yeah. I mean, to be fair though, a lot of the cards that you I'm assuming they're nerfing here are relative specifically for wild. I think that a lot I think that Blizzard is start to recognize that their international community in the China region is extremely attuned to the wild scene. I think that is something that Blizzard has just recently recognized. And I mean, Blizzard has choked up a little bit on this point. They didn't have a wild open this year, which has infuriated a lot of the wild scene. And I think that they're more or less trying to make it up at this point with, all right, we're going to come through and we're going to fix the format. We're going to come through and add some things here and there to make the wild meta a little bit better than it was in the past, because they haven't really been paying too much attention to it.
Yeah. I agree with that, for sure. But speaking of the changes, you wanted to talk about what you think the changes might be.
All right. So my initial impression was that they're going to go all out and they're going to go and change Naga Sea Witch. They're going to go through and change Snip Snap. They're going to change Warsong Commander. They're going to change Undertaker. They're going to go through and they're going to change Aviana, and they're going to bring Wild back to its original form.
Really?
Now that's a joke. Okay. Now that's an absolute joke.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, this all sounds terrible.
That's amazing.
But I also was sitting here thinking, well, Danny knows way more than Wild for me, so maybe I'm completely missing something here, and he has like a really good reason why.
No, I've had many a conversation with the Wild community, and that's just a joke on the worst way that Blizzard could butcher everything by bringing back the most powerful version of everything. And that would be fun for about a week and a half, but then everyone would complain.
Would it be fun for a week and a half? Like,
I guarantee. Imagine that though. You're playing Patron Warrior and someone's playing Undertaker, whatever. And like, I think that for a week, that's a tavern brawl. I think that you could make a tavern brawl where you go through and you have the unnerfed card of every single thing in the set. And then you go through of the entire like collection. And then you'd go through and you'd be able to play every unnerfed card. And you'd have like some ridiculous miracle rogue that wins every single game, right? But ultimately, I think the cards that will be unnerfed are the ones that won't impact Wild as much, because Wild has really, I don't want to say gone out of control, but at the current moment, I don't want to say the strongest deck, but one of the biggest decks that has the largest anchor is Reno Quest Mage, which is a deck that goes through, plays all the Reno cards, it plays the quest package, it goes through, gets an extra turn. It's incredibly broken. So I think that Blizzard is not opposed at the moment to take some of the cards that were not as broken in the past and turn them back. So you take cards like Call of the Wild, you take cards like Raza, you take Patches, you take Spiteful Summoner. I think those are four of the most guaranteed cards that will be changed. And obviously Yogg-Saron, because that's everyone's love card. Everyone was pissed off when Yogg got buffed. And then they'll put Yogg back to, it'll just continue shooting out spells even after it died. So it'll be Yogg, Raza, Patches, Spiteful Summoner, there's a couple others that are mixed in, but those are the main ones that will really, like, they don't impact the wild format as much as you'd expect them to, but there's something that takes it back to more of the older days where you're like, back to like Un'Goro, right? When Un'Goro came out with like, or right after Un'Goro, when you started to go with the Raza, Reno Priest, I think that's the scene where Blizzard really was like at its prime, where a lot of the Reno Priest battles that you saw, and like where like the skill that really came into Reno Priest mirrors was really capitalized. I think that's where Blizzard really wants to go back to.
Hmm.
Hopefully. I wish I had played more back when like Patron and all those things were a thing, or like towards the beginning, even when like
I kind of want to see I want to see a Warsong Commander unnerfed. That would be something that would be a lot of fun. I'd want to see Warsong Commander go back. I'm hesitant that Blizzard will do it, but I want to see it where Grim Patron becomes an actual deck. I want to see where Grim Patron fits against all the rest of the broken stuff that currently exists. I want to see where Raza Priest goes, where the hero power is zero, and up against the current Reno Mage. Like that was the one matchup that I, as a player, I think that I changed where Reno Priest versus Reno Mage. I think I changed it from one direction to the other because of an article that I wrote on Tempo Storm, because people understood how to play a specific matchup. I really want to see what happens if people go back to the old Raza builds. That's where I am coming from, at least.
I think if they unnerfed Warsong Commander, it would have to go in the Hall of Fame, though.
Well, I agree with you. Oh, no, it's the three. I think you can't unnerf it fully to like the Molten Giant Warsong Commander. I think you can give it the three attack or less gets charge.
Right.
But I think you can still give it that, because there's no card in the current set like Grim Patron.
Right. Mm. But it also means they couldn't print another card like that either.
I mean, are they going to, though? Like, that's the issue with... I mean, does that really inhibit their design space? I don't really think so.
I think anything with charge does. Or anything that gives something charge does. Charge and silence are two of the, like, biggest keywords that are problems in Hearthstone. Charge more so, because charge will allow you to do some OTKs like out of nowhere, and they've really been trying not, like, I think they did a good thing where they created Rush instead, and they've been doing a good job with Rush being more of a thing. I think they want to get away from charge being a thing that they continue doing, and I don't think they would want to have a card that would give minions charge.
Yeah, I think that they've shown that they're done with that mechanic.
They do keep Leroy in the classic set. They haven't rotated Leroy yet. Leroy is the premier like charge minion.
Agreed. And
any single face deck runs Leroy. Anything that runs a combo runs Leroy.
Agreed.
Like,
I think Leroy
is the one charge minion that has survived through the nerf effect that they have.
Yeah, and I mean,
they might as well unnerf like Savage. Remember the core back in the day for Druid, where you had Savage Roar and Force of Nature? Imagine if they unnerfed Force of Nature. Like, that would be nuts.
Yeah, I don't see them doing that either, though. But I think Leroy goes in the Hall of Fame this year.
Leroy?
Really?
Yeah.
You think Leroy goes?
I think Leroy goes.
Wow.
So I just think they want to get away from those mechanics, especially in Standard. So I don't know. Looking at cards that I was thinking of, like, you went a completely different direction than I did, because I was looking at, like, Dr. Boom, Mad Genius. Like, that feels like a card that would just, why wouldn't they unnerf that for Wild? It's not going to be, you know, the terrible thing it was in Standard. I could see them unnerfing Luna's Pocket Galaxy. I could see them... I think those were the main two that I kind of saw that I was looking at. Probably some of the, I think it was like Evil Miscreant, like where it used to be a 1/5. I could see them unnerfing that. Well, that's still in the set, isn't it?
Luna's Pocket Galaxy broke Wild. Luna's Pocket Galaxy made that. That was probably one of the strongest buffs that they gave to anything.
Okay.
And I mean, Mage just in general in Wild is a very strong. It's in a very strong place right now. So if they have any adjustment on what's going on with Wild, I don't foresee that happening.
Archivist Elisana.
So I think the Elysiana, just to chime in here, I think that the nerf that it made to go to an odd cost as opposed to an even cost was one of the best changes they made, because all of a sudden it goes into a bunch of odd decks, such as Odd Warrior, where it did not see play before. And it actually saw more play in Wild as a 9-cost minion as opposed to the 8-cost minion, because Odd Warrior all of a sudden started running it. So I mean,
it's funny.
Yeah, no, it is. I think that it's really funny, as that's one of the things that you really need to take into perspective when you're looking at Wild, because Ganon Baku decks will ultimately be one of the calling cards of Wild. Like, even Shaman is a predominant deck that will always persist in Wild, and Odd Warrior is something that will always be like a premier control deck when the opportunity arises for it. So a lot of the adjustments that happen to Wild are based off of Ganon Baku, whether Blizzard likes it or not. Whenever they print a card, the mana cost on a card, the polarity of being even versus odd, is something that they need to take into perspective, which is something that I've always said that developers in the future will not take into perspective, especially as Ganon Baku start rotating, which they do this set. With Witchwood, now all of a sudden design space opens up for a lot of the people who are going through and designing sets for Standard, but they aren't taking into perspective the things that are coming from odd and even decks. And I think that that is something that just generally, as someone who's a perspective Wild player, you need to take a look into, okay, is this an even deck? Is this an odd deck? Does it fit into one of the current archetypes that really is predominant in Wild? And any Shaman card that is even immediately gets a little bit of a bump, because even Shaman is a strong deck. Anything that's a Paladin that has an odd mana cost will immediately be stronger than something in the even slot, because it could potentially be slotted into a deck that automatically is already running all of these cards. There are certain polarities that are very dangerous for these developers to start putting cards into. And as Ganon Baku, this is the full rotation of Ganon Baku before they did their premature rotation of them earlier, because they're like, oh, this is way too strong, we can't design around this. But as time goes along, I had speculated this, that they would forget that these polarities exist and they would create synergies along lines that are very dangerous for Wild. And especially looking at other scenes besides the American region, the EU region, the Pacific region, it doesn't really matter as much, because in the China region, like, Wild is the predominant format. So that's where everyone's starting to look. Right now, it's really funny. All of the originating decks that are currently really strong in NA, EU, Pacific, all come from China right now. China is the main source for all of the dominant decks. There are some people who have a little bit of spice here and there that really circulate in, but it all comes from China right now, which is kind of scary. But, I mean, that's the way of life at the moment.
Yeah, I've noticed that on Chinese Twitter, even, like, they are always posting Wild decks, and I'm just like, wow, that's not a thing. Like, you never see an NA post a Wild deck. That's just not a thing that exists. I would love to have them do literally anything with Wild.
I really wanted to see this year's Wild competition. I wanted to see, because the biggest thing about the Wild Opens that we've seen in the past is that the Standard scene transitions over to Wild and says, oh, you guys have these broken synergies that you haven't been capitalizing on. You need to take Any Fin is Awesome and then play it out. And with the amount of minds that we have on the NA, EU, and the Asia Pacific servers, there are a lot of freaking smart people who come through and they put their own spin on decks and they dominate the scene. And it's a shame that they don't look at the, based off of the way that the current system is set up, it's a shame that they aren't looking at the wild format, because there are just so many cards and there are so many cool combinations that have not been discovered yet. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves about wild, where whenever someone comes up and says, oh, but my deck is really awesome in here, you can't take them at not face value for their initial statement. Unless, I mean, if they're a nobody, like, okay, whatever. But if someone who's fairly dominant in the scene says, hey, this is a really cool deck, you have to really analyze their deck and say, okay, this is good against X, it's bad against Y. You really have to take a look at it, which is a shame, because if you have everyone, if you have everyone in our Hearthstone community taking a look at it, things get expedited at a much quicker rate.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Standard gets figured out so fast, because everybody's playing it. So if everybody played Wild, the same thing would happen. Exactly. The maybe. Dream.
Maybe.
That's my dream.
Maybe
my
the big dream. Change is they're just going to get rid of Standard, and it's Wild is the only format. No, that's not gonna
keep
that.
Dreaming, JR.
that was like
that. That's one of my dreams, and I don't believe it.
Okay. What about this? Where we go back to old formats, like you go back to like a time period.
Do you remember what Tempo Storm did, where they went through and they're like piece by piece, where it's like, we'll introduce this section. I think that was honestly the best event in Hearthstone of all time.
I lost in the finals of that event.
Yeah, I know. Let's just switch my... I thought that was the best event that had ever happened of Hearthstone, where they went through and they said, okay, here are the cards from Black Rock Mountain. Make a deck from Black Rock Mountain. And then they went through, oh, you have Karazhan, and you have the following sets as well. Those were some of the most fun I've ever had watching Hearthstone, because I'm like, especially as a wild player, I'm like, I know what cards are in this set. I know what should be really strong. I know what would be a lot of fun to watch. And then you had a lot of players like Ray, you had Zalay, you had Dane, you had Firebat. You had a lot of really strong players competing at that level. I would be really happy if we saw something like that again.
Me too.
But I mean, hey, if Blizzard's listening to this, that is what they need to go and push forward. The History of Hearthstone Part 2 or something
there
like that.
There you go. Yeah, I like that idea. I would play it for sure.
I mean, I did play it and it was great.
That was one of the most fun things to watch, Ray.
I think that they can do it, though, because they do the Tavern Brawls where it's like you have the world's decks, but they do it really weird. They do like the world championship decks from different eras, which is just kind of stupid. Like they should do that. Like you have access to the cards that those people had at the world championships at that time.
That would be so cool.
Something like that would be really cool. And it would also make infinitely more sense than whatever it is that they do right now. Yeah.
Crossroads, baby. Randomness. Fun at the crossroads. That's what every single friggin' Tavern Brawl is.
Fun at the crossroads, baby. Let's have some fun at the crossroads. Let's go. Where are we going?
Random crossroads. Decks. Random decks. Yeah. I hate that shit. Excuse my language. I'm sorry.
But,
what? Are you telling you don't love randomness? Hello?
I'm hanging up right now.
Interesting.
But speaking of Hearthstone events, though, we have some news. We talked about this on either the last show or the show before. It's been a few weeks since we've had a show where they had changed Masters Tour Indonesia and moved it to LA. And Ray and I had a small little debate about that. At the time where, you know, it sucked for people that had made travel plans and all of that. But at the time, the coronavirus was starting to take a hold in Asia. And at the time, there wasn't any cases in the U.S. yet. And we were kind of hoping that, you know, maybe it would start getting kind of quarantined a little bit. But that didn't seem to really be the case. And they have now moved the Masters Tour Los Angeles to online only, or as Ray puts it, the Masters Tour, your mom's basement.
I mean,
very apt, Ray.
That's what it is. Masters tore your mom's basement. I don't know what else you would call it. Maybe you would call it.
I mean, I understand for the world circumstance why you have to do that. And it makes sense. Like I can't,
Italy
I can't
right
find
now,
any other.
Italy right now is completely locked down.
Like, they're doing it for a bunch of other things aside from Hearthstone. If you look at the World Chess Championship, that has been postponed. If you look at a bunch of like dance festivals, South by Southwest canceled, as I found out earlier today.
Emerald City Comic-Con in Seattle, that was supposed to be this upcoming weekend, got postponed.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the Olympics are in question at the moment. Like, yeah. That is the most worldwide event there is, the Olympics. Yeah. And that is currently in question whether or not it will happen in Tokyo coming up here in 2020.
Yeah, the NHL, NBA, and MLB all are no longer allowing reporters in the clubhouse. And they're doing all press conferences outside in the press conference area, and the reporters have to be at least 6 feet away from the players.
Whoa.
Yeah, and they just announced that today. So it's...
This is some serious business.
But it's just the flu, guys. It's just the flu, right?
No, dude. Trump said it was all good, bro.
Yeah.
that's good enough
so
for me.
I'm going to go on my soapbox here just real quick about this. Is,
oh boy,
because of this whole thing, it's not enough reason to panic like some people are. Like, don't go out and buy a bunch of toilet paper and sanitizers and freak out that you're going to die and think, you know, doomsday device, you know, world's going to be over. It's not that kind of situation. But it's also not a situation to downplay and just say, well, this is just swine flu all over again. This is just the flu or anything like that. It's a serious situation, and it should be taken seriously, but not to the point
of panicking. Most people are taking it fairly seriously, though. Whenever you start going and quarantining people, when you start doing this stuff, people really do take it seriously. And I mean, whether or not your political regime goes through and does it or not, I think that the population as a whole really starts to understand where we're at. I think that I don't want to get political on this.
And this isn't a political, like, this should not be political, 100%.
No, of course.
I just don't think that I think that people are downplaying it too much, and I think people are panicking too much.
For the average person, right? The average person is not in the age range where this is completely lethal to you.
Sure.
But you may catch the big thing is that you don't want to catch the disease, and you don't want to pass it on to others who could potentially catch it. So the big thing is that you want to stay away, and if you end up catching it, you need to quarantine yourself. And ultimately, where you come through, it's places of mass gathering is always fairly dangerous when a virus or something is coming up. So it seems like the world has recognized this is a very dangerous thing. So everyone has said, especially if you're looking at, I think the prime place to look at this is places of celebration. Places where people are going to go to a festival, they're going to go and celebrate for the weekend.
BlizzCon.
And BlizzCon, you look at South by Southwest, in about a week or so, you're going to see Coachella go down. You're going to see a lot of places go through and really like feel that a lot of bands are canceling summer tours. You have to recognize that going into a crowd of a bunch of public people is not the safest thing for you or your family or for other people like that. So it's better to be safe than be sorry. That's my line. Better be safe than be sorry. Take a week off from celebrating. You can celebrate next year.
And I'm going to Disney World in a month. So I'm completely avoiding.
All right, JR, your advice here.
I'm completely avoiding.
You think you're going to Disney World in a month?
That's if Disney World is open in a month, buddy.
Well, obviously, if Disney World is not open in a month, I am not going. But if it is open, I am still going.
I agree with you on that.
I mean, look at it this way. This is the best time to travel. Everything is cheap.
No, this is the best time to play Hearthstone. when you're at home, when you're not doing anything, Hearthstone is the best tool to get to escape from reality.
That's true.
But I really liked what Blizzard did with this, though, is they opted to pay people even more on their traveling expenses this time around as well.
Yeah, they upped it to 1500, I think.
Yeah. And I think it's just a good move in general.
Here comes in Ray C with the devil's advocacy that is something that a lot of people have already spoken on, but I haven't seen it talked about too much. But this is not going to be a Masters Tour where you're playing a 1v1 matchup. You're playing a 1v however many people that other dude you're playing has for friends. Like, there's going to be... I'm not saying, like, there's just no way to stop it. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying that, like, whoever wins is not going to, like, deserve it or whatever, but, like, there's going to be co-oping, especially during Swiss. There's going to be co-op. There's going to be cheating no matter what. You can't stop it. 100. You just have to accept that this is not a Masters Tour where whoever wins is playing it by themselves the whole time. I would be incredibly surprised, outside of maybe the few people who, I don't know, have that weird moral thing that, you know, some people have or whatever.
Yeah, the thing that Ray doesn't have.
But, like, I would say 90% of people will be playing this in a call. Like, I am almost 100% sure, and nobody's going to ever admit to it, but it's going to happen 100%. Whoever wins is probably not going to have played that whole tournament on their own.
Competitive integrity 100% is going to be in question.
That happens on any online event, though, Ray. I agree with you completely.
No, I agree.
It happens on every single online event.
But that's why the online events are never worth anything.
Exactly.
Until now.
Right. But
so it's interesting. Like, I think it'll be harder in top 8 and stuff when they're on stream, because you can see people talking like they do for Grandmasters, where they force you to be on stream or in a call with admins. But there's no way in the world that they're going to have 400 people or however many people there are, like, in a call with, like, admins. Like, just, like, that's not a thing. Like, you're not going to have that many people in a video call. No, not everybody's going to have a webcam. It's just, like, I don't know how they're going to do this. I wonder if they'll make having a webcam mandatory for streaming purposes. Like, I wonder if they'll let people stream it. That's another thing I'm really interested in. Will they let people stream their own perspectives of the tournament?
Yeah, I don't
know. That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be.
But
I don't know if they will.
Yeah, competitive integrity, not going to be a thing for the most part.
But
competitive integrity.
But I'm okay with that if it keeps people safe.
No, I agree. I am glad they made the decision. I'm just... it's not all upsides.
Yeah.
For
you're being a realist. That's ultimately what you're being. You're being a realist on that, Ray.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Like, I hope that they do other things with it, because, like, the competitive integrity of it's already going to be out the window. You might as well let people stream it. Like, you might as well do fun things while you're at it, since it's all kind of a meme tournament right now.
Yeah. I get where you're coming from. I still think it's a good move, and we'll see what happens here in a couple weeks with it. I wanted to move on because we're getting to about the end of the show here, and I'm
starting to feel it.
You're not the only one,
right? But I did want to say a couple things. Oh boy, I did want to state a couple things here real quick that over on Patreon, where you can join us, patreon.com/wellmetpodcast, we did get a new member who came back, so thanks so much, Ignatius. I can't pronounce that name.
Woo, Ignatius.
Woo. He's pretty active in our Discord and has been for quite some time. He is rejoined us as a patron. Nice to see you back. Also, he sent in an email. So I'm going to read that real quick.
Ooh.
And he says, "Hey guys, I was 24/7 in the Hearthstone scene circa 2015 to 2017. Took a 2-year hiatus after my wife and I had a baby and some other adulty things." Yeah, congrats. In returning to Hearthstone over the last few months, I was delighted to find that while Met was still going strong, your approach to keeping episodes on topic and interesting, keeping discussions focused to their categories, and maintaining a balance of dialogue between everyone on the show is just outstanding. I really enjoy the personalities that come through and the professional approach to discussions. I also have a small bias because JR is just down the street from me over in Lawrence, Kansas. So keep up the good work. I'm Ignatius. So thank you for that email, man. I'm glad that you came back.
You think we stay on topic, Ignatius?
We did for the most part. We do for the most part.
To be fair, we do. We do stay on topic for a lot of the Hearthstone podcasts that go on. Okay. So thank you. We do appreciate the kind words.
Definitely.
Did you say kind words?
Kind.
I said kind words, but I was drinking a little bit when I said that.
Yeah. We did get a second email, guys. Yeah, two emails this week. And this one came from Evil Patty, and he says, "Hey gang, I noticed something interesting playing Res Priest non-quest last month. I hit my personal best of rank 2 with this deck. Depending on my draw, I found frequently that I threw away several cards, if not my entire hand. I noticed that turn after turn, my opponent would not attack face, assuming that I was baiting damage to then use the quest and heal. My opponents were not watching that I threw away all my cards and wouldn't have the quest. Wondering if you guys have noticed this as well. See you on the ladder, Evil Patty." I have not, but I've not played ladder a lot, and the level of ladder that I'm playing is not as high as he was playing.
So that's definitely a threat, Evil Patty. I do agree with you that, I don't know the standard scene per se, but from the wild perspective, if someone expects you to have the quest, and then that's all dependent on which cards you hold on to, and if people are paying attention to that and all of that. But I do agree that you are able to, at least in Hearthstone, you're able to portray that you have a quest, and then all of a sudden healing up a bunch will, I mean, and this is from a wild perspective where you can heal 12 from Greater Healing Potion, which is very dangerous in that priest matchup, but being able to play the quest and then playing Greater Healing Potion and just complete the quest from that, it's something that is very on the mind of many people who are playing against Res Priest.
Yeah. Anything you want to add, Ray?
No, I think,
okay.
I'm thinking, I think right now the amount of people playing Quest Priest is like non-existent. So
he did send this 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. I think that might be smart to hold the quest so you can try to heal. It's something I've seen before actually. And I feel like right now people aren't gonna hold their, like, that's kind of like people are just gonna go face, so it's a good idea, but I think people just won't ever expect your quest priest, so I think it'll work out for you almost 100% of the time if you do it, if you're trying to bait face damage, because you're right, they won't attack you if they know your quest priest, right? Like if you play the quest on one, they're not going to attack you and just let you get that free heal because you don't have anything else to do on two, unless they play a big minion or an aggro minion that you can penance or something like that.
Do you guys still have that five mana minion that kills a minion? I don't remember the name of it. It's like the 5 mana 2/6 that when you kill it,
yeah, it has reborn.
It kills a minion. It doesn't have reborn, but it kills a minion. It has the obsidian statue effect.
Yeah. I always think it has reborn because I always end up giving it reborn.
Yeah.
Do you guys have that minion in standard?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
That is probably one of the most, that is one of the biggest devastation to the wild build that there was. The 5 mana 2/6 that kills other minions, like big priests that play in wild are very dominant on that one card itself. And I mean, it's a good addition, but it makes me feel bad when I play against Res Priest in wild.
Yeah. I wanted to finish off the last part of his question, which was,
having to do with people just not doing it in general. They're just lazy. Nobody on ranked. I feel like people don't actually really start paying attention to the hand tracking until legend, and even then not till high legend. So people are just bad is your answer to that when they don't attack you.
I agree with Ray on that one.
I think doing that is smart to play around potential quest priests, but like if you didn't keep the leftmost card or whatever the quest would be, then like they're just bad.
Yeah, they're not, especially from ranks 5 to rank 1, no one's paying attention to that.
Yeah, so I feel like the damage is almost irrelevant anyways, because you're just going to heal it even as a non-quest priest, so it's like, eh.
Yeah.
It's kind of negligible, but yeah, they're just bad.
Yep. Alright, with that said, it's definitely time to get out of here. We went over where I was expecting us to be. But that's okay. We had a couple awesome emails. We had a lot of good discussion. I think this ended up being a pretty good show. I'm happy with it.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. And it was good to get the gang back together. It's been a while since all three of us were on a show together.
It's been a hot minute.
It's been a hot minute, yeah. There's been a lot of things going on, like I said earlier in the show.
Real life OP.
Yeah, real life. So anyway, thanks again, Ignatius and Evil Patty, for those emails. Thanks, Ignatius, for re-upping that Patreon. And if you want to be a Patreon member, just head over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast for as little as $1 a month, which is all we're asking. There's more tiers above that, but $1 a month will get you a little bit of early access to the show, get you a little bit of pre-show, a little bit of post-show, normally. 9 times out of 10. So that's a way that you can help support us. Another way that you can help support us is through word of mouth. And one of those ways is through iTunes reviews. And just head over to iTunes, do a search for Podcast in Hearthstone. You'll find Well Met there. And you just leave a nice little 5-star review there, and or any star review, and we'll read on next week's show. All right, shout outs, and how can people get in contact with you, Danny?
Well, normally I would shit on I would normally shit on Battlefy here, but they haven't done anything. So I guess I'm going to give this shout out to you guys. So giving the crowd together, getting the three of us together is my shout out for the week. Battlefy didn't do anything bad, but I bet they will when we have the In Your Mom's Basement tournament coming out. Yeah. So I bet they're going to have a lot of issues with that. I bet there's going to be a lot of bugs. Yeah. I bet people are going to get pissed off. So fuck you, Battlefy.
Danny, you saw us, bro.
Of course I am. You can find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS.
All right, before I have you go, Ray, I'm going to give my shout outs here. I'm going to give a shout out to Jen and Jaeger.
Hell yeah, let's go, baby. Let's go.
Because if you had not been able to tell, Danny's feeling pretty good right now.
I've been drunk this entire episode, boys. Let's go.
Dude, should we do that? I go over to Danny's place. We do it like we stream. Yo,
Ray, let's do it next time. All next right. time, you and I, we're going to be drinking through the next episode. Today was a rough day at work for me, boy.
What do you do? Okay, pick a weekend when you're free. We should do an episode that day.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Right. Let's do it. I'm down, dude.
My next shout out is to all the people listening. Just remember, drink responsibly. Or be like Danny.
You're in your own place. Fuck it.
You can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian. How about you, Ray?
Shout outs to my toilet. Good luck, friend.
This show went off the rails very quick.
I mean, I figured I might as well go there if we're already there. Shout outs to everybody who's been nice to me on Twitter. I always appreciate it. It's been a rough last few months. Hopefully it gets better, I guess.
I hope so.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at PG_Racy and on Twitch at twitch.tv/Racy. I'm literally about to explode though, so I'm gonna leave the call right now because I'm about to explode.
Classic Ray.
All right, boys. Thanks for joining us for episode 229 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us WellMetBlizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Bentnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week.